Her program, while it did teach me a lot about her curriculum that she created, first and foremost, it taught us the why behind the science of reading and brain-based literacy instruction. And I just felt convicted, actually, to go back and just say, here's what I'm learning, and here's some things as your instructional coach I was saying before, and here's what I know now.
This is the Grace Story Podcast. Today's guests are Dr. Rachel Hoffer and Megan Smith. Together, they have spearheaded the advancement of the Center for Literacy and Learning on the campus of Grace College. Dr. Hoffer has served in the School of Education for 10 years and truly embodies the relational educational model. She also serves as chair of the Elementary Education Department and says she teaches the fun classes on campus. And Megan is the director of programs and partnerships for the center, actually helped write the grant that is funding the center, and prior to that served in local schools as an instructional coach. So thank you for both being here on the podcast. It's amazing to hear all the success that's happening in the center, and you guys seem to have like a new article coming out and a new grant that's been accepted, it seems like every week. But let's just start from the basics. Dr. Hoffer, like, what is the Center for Literacy and Learning?
Yes. Well, the Center for Literacy and Learning, we officially opened this fall on the Grace College campus in Mount Memorial. And really, we just believe the ability for our elementary students, their ability to read is just fundamental. And so when we think about that, the big picture is if we need to make sure we're preparing our teacher candidates who are here at Grace to effectively be able to teach every child how to read. And so when we look at our center, we're really focused on preparing our teachers well through our coursework. We're focused on making sure they have excellent classrooms, and we have this at Jefferson Elementary and all over, but Jefferson is really close. Excellent classrooms where they can practice literacy strategies, evidence-based practices with really solid mentor teachers. And then the last big component of our center is community engagement. And so if you come to our center on Tuesday, Wednesdays, or Thursdays, you will see our teacher candidates tutoring small groups of students, we have mostly third, fourth, and fifth graders. And our students are trained in the science of reading and delivering excellent practices, and we're seeing a lot of growth. So, yeah, we're seeing about 50 students in the center. So if you came Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, it would be a really busy place with a lot of good reading going on.
Yeah, you know, usually we think of the buildings around here getting quiet about 4 or 5 in the afternoon. Not Mount Memorial. It's just getting,
it's just getting started, right?
That's right. All right, so Megan, Dr. Hoffer mentioned this term, science of reading. And for people like me, we're like, wait, science and reading? Like, I thought those were different subjects. Like, what is the science of reading?
Yeah, well, that's a really loaded question. But basically, we're thinking about brain-based literacy instruction. And we have learned so much about the brain and really the way that the brain is learning to read, and that there is a process behind that, and that we need to teach to that to be most effective when reaching our students. So looking at some of the practices that we've done in the past and looking at now what we know based on neuroscience is actually happening in the brain, we're able to tailor our instruction to better meet the needs of the students that we're serving. So science of reading is basically a body of research that supports effective practices that we can use when working with our students.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. I get it now. Okay. Dr. Hoffer, talk to us just a little bit about your background. You know, obviously you work in elementary education. Like, why are you passionate about this center, and what do you hope that it accomplishes?
Yeah, you know, I was a struggling reader, and I always tell that story to my teacher candidates. Like, I still remember getting through first grade, and I knew I was always in this group with students who struggled to read. And it wasn't until that summer that my mom really invested time in teaching me how to read, and I got to second grade, and the teachers were shocked that I could read a book. But I look back at that experience and I tell my teacher candidates, you know, I did have someone in my life that could do that. But reading is difficult. Not everybody knows, you know, how to teach a child how to read, how to have that patience. And so I know that my self-confidence was shot in first grade. And I don't want that for other kids. Like, I want to make sure all students are successful readers. And so how can I do that now? Well, I did that as a teacher. I really dove into reading and then even learned more with the science of reading and added my dyslexia specialist and just really looking at those processes that happen in the brain. But now, like, it is just so important that I teach that well to my teacher candidates and make sure that they have really good understanding so that when they see students in their classroom, like me in that first grade classroom, it's not just kind of give up and walk on by, but knowing that they're equipped to have the strategies to help that student succeed and learn to read. That's what I want to do as a professor. That's what I do in the center when we look at data. I want every child to walk away and have that self-confidence.
Wow. Thanks for sharing the story. I appreciate that. Megan, you actually helped fashion the grant and was something you jumped into after, you know, being home for a while. Like, what made you passionate to say, like, okay, this is my next professional endeavor. I'm going to jump into this new thing that didn't exist before and sort of create something out of nothing?
Yeah, I think for me, it was that know better, do better. And I had the privilege when I was working at Warsaw Community Schools to go through a program through Dr. Roxy Sporleader, and it was brain-based literacy instruction. And it was because every school district at that time, and still do, need to have a dyslexia specialist on their campus. And so I was given the opportunity at Warsaw to go through her program. And her program, while it did teach me a lot about her curriculum that she created, first and foremost, it taught us the why behind the science of reading and brain-based literacy instruction. And I just felt convicted, actually, to go back and just say, here's what I'm learning. And here's some things as your instructional coach, I was saying before, and here's what I know now. And so I just felt compelled to get back out there and really share the news of what I've been learning and ways that we could better work with our students.
So talk through us, practically speaking, like what happens at 4 o'clock over in yeah. Mount Memorial? Who's showing up and then what are they doing to learn how to read?
Yeah, so as Dr. Hoffert said, we have about 50 students who come in and out of the center. 38 of those are third grade students. And this year, we just really wanted to get things going and step out there and try to make a difference and get our schedule and our tutors. So we reached out to 3 of our local schools, Jefferson Elementary, Washington Elementary, and Lincoln Elementary. And so at 3:45, our tutors put on their big neon vests and we walk over and we collect Jefferson students and bring them back to Mount Memorial, where they are split up into 2 different groups. And for 30 minutes, they work on a really intense Roxy reading program that is specifically looking at phonemic awareness and phonics. And then that other 30 minutes, they're in what we call the literacy lab. And in that area, they work on vocabulary and comprehension skills to help them be successful in their using a lot of students from our literacy courses. And so they get that full hour of rich literacy instruction tailored to their specific needs. And then around 4:45, we hear a lot of other feet stomping up the stairs because Lincoln and Washington have been bussed over, and they do the same thing for that next hour.
And it's Grace students who are the ones, right, Dr. Hoffert, who are actually have become certified, right?
Yes.
And are doing this. Like, tell what do the students have?
5 students who went through intense training through Roxy Reading over the summer, and they were then able to obtain their dyslexia specialist, not a degree, but kind of an endorsement from the IDOE. So that is really cool. And it's not that the center, we service all kids who have reading needs. Now, we may have some who have been flagged for dyslexia, but there's just so many good strategies in that training that they can use across with whatever child they see. So they leave with that. But then in our literacy lab, a lot of the students from our literacy courses that we teach, they come and they sit one-on-one with students in the literacy lab and really help them as they're reading through a passage think about the comprehension and the vocabulary. So these elementary kids get to be with two awesome college teacher candidates, and that is what Megan and I tell everybody. That is what keeps the kids coming. They keep the kids coming back. Because when the kids come, they work really hard. But we know they come back because of those relationships.
My mom is a dyslexia specialist, and so I hear this all the time about, like, well, this is just good principles for how any of us can learn how to improve our vocabulary, our reading skills. So I feel like whenever I call my mom, I get a little bit of a reading lesson myself. Megan, give us a story. Like, tell us maybe a success story or just a story about a student that has been meaningful to you and your students.
Oh my goodness. There are so many stories. Every child has a different story and a unique circumstance that brings them to the center. And I think, you know, a couple that I'm going to kind of put into one theme, I think going back to what Dr. Hoffert said about relationships, I've seen a little boy who comes to us every day after getting in trouble at school every day because he makes some maybe unwise choices there. But because of the relationship that he has with the college student that is his tutor, he has zero problems with us here. And we have loved having him and are sad anytime he's not there. And that's honestly the case in every situation. We come back and we take attendance, and there's not one kid on our list where they're like, whoo, okay, we have an easy day today. It's, oh man, I'm so upset that they're not here today. And I just think that is such a testimony to the students in our community, the kids in our community, their want to learn and their want to be confident, and then also just a reflection of the great team that we have at the center. We have other students who struggle with transportation and have found other means of getting to tutoring because they're that committed to this process. We've found students in our class who have been maybe unsuccessful in their academics, and yet we've been seeing some huge growth along with the collaboration of the schools and their teachers with the work that we're doing. We just are really strengthening relationships, and I think that's with the college students to our elementary students, but then also just the relationships with our partner schools and our school of education. We're all on the same team, and that's really evident every day.
That's awesome. And they're getting, right, like it's a smaller group, right? It's just a few students, and so they're really getting that one-on-one attention.
Absolutely.
Which they crave and need to be able to learn.
And I think about one student, too. He was very nervous to come to the center, did not want to come. We were able, with our tutors, to connect with him over Little Tiger football. That was something he really loved. And we got him over to the center, and he stayed over, you know, and recently passed the high stakes iRead test. Wow. And he was here for pizza night, and I just love this. We had a bingo game going on that night with homophones, which is on the test, so it was a good little practice. And he saw a Grace College water bottle, and he said to me, all I want to do is win that Grace College water bottle because I want to take that to Young Tiger practice. And so at the end, I asked him, did you win it? No, no, no. And I said, I'm going to go back down to marketing after I get back, and I'm going to find one, because marketing had donated that water bottle to us for a bingo prize. And I said, I'm going to get that and bring it over to you. But I just love that, how he loves to come to Grace College. Like, he loves to come to tutoring now. He wanted a water bottle. Like, it just shows the impact. And he passed his test. And yeah.
The confidence.
And we saw his confidence grow.
Yeah. And you even think of the idea of college now being like on the radar,
right?
Of like, maybe this is something I'd want for my life, is to go on to college. And what a beautiful story. Dr. Hoffert, what is sort of your vision? I mean, you're in year one, and like I said, there's articles going out, and you're getting grants, and lots happening already. But what do you hope for this center long term? What does it look like for the next few years?
Yes. We know we're doing some great work. Our data is showing that, and we'll be able to kind of finalize that data by the end of the school year.
Which, by the way, School of Education is like the best on data.
Well, yeah, we love data. It's so important up there. But anyway, so we wanted to make sure this year with our pilot that this operation runs well. It shows good results. The kids are engaged. Our teacher candidates, you know, Megan and I have been able to mentor our teacher candidates in such a different way this year because we're with them in the center. Like, there's just all these wins. We also received a Health First grant, which we were so excited for, because one of the things we're going to add next year is some physical activity through kind of like a mind maze going down the hall of Mount Memorial, where the kids will be able to do some transition physical activity. And it's going to look really cool, and I think they're really going to like it. And it will just get their brain to rest and to reengage. So that will be another piece that we are so excited to roll out and highlight. And then we have a couple summer camps coming up.
Yes.
So as I look at the center long term, we are off to a great start. And so now we're sort of transitioning into, we want to sustain this operation. That's very important to us. And so we have started implementing this spring tours. We've had a lot of community members in. We have a lot more coming. And they come and they tour the center with Megan and I when the kids are there. So they get to see it all in action. They offer advice to us. We have good conversations. And so we're really kind of looking at, how do we sustain this so we can see more kids, we can impact more teacher candidates, and we can see more and more kids learn to read well. I mean, that's really our big goal. So.
One of our goals with centers at Grace in general is to figure out ways where we can have an impact in our local community, and where we can ensure that our students are getting real world experience. And I can't really think of a better picture of that than what's happening right now in the Center for Literacy and Learning. So thank you for your work and for the great first year and launch that it has been. So if somebody says, you know, I want to take a tour, I want to write you a big check, I want to look into the summer camps. Like, what's the best way for them to learn something or learn about and get connected to the Center for Literacy and Learning?
I would say on the Grace College website, we have our own little offspring for the Center for Literacy and Learning right off of that page. And so that is a great page that you can see information, you can donate. You can also call Grace College and they will connect you to the Center for Literacy and Learning. And Megan and I would be happy to talk about our programs. Those would be the best. They can email me. But we love to take people on tours. So if there is anybody out there that would like a personal tour, we would love to showcase the work. I really think of our awesome teacher candidates, college students up there. We would love to showcase what's going on in the center. You will leave smiling, I promise. For sure.
Thank you. Okay, so yeah. Like any good teachers, you've got notes, you're well prepared for this podcast. Is there anything that I miss that you would want to make sure you're able to share?
I'm looking. I feel like you really hit our bullets,
okay,
which is
good.
Much
right.
appreciated.
Okay,
yeah.
Well,
I know you did really well.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I saw that. I mean,
yes.
Good,
yeah.
Good teachers. You are well prepared.
Yeah.
So thank
yes,
you.
The
no.
summer camps,
yeah.
really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sign your kids up for our summer camps. I think they'll be super, super fun.
Give us a quick preview. Like, what's
oh,
what,
yes.
what summer
so
camp
the
be?
First summer camp we're going to have is the first week of June, and we're doing a Mystery Files camp. So every day will be a different mystery that the students will have to solve. So we're going to have a mystery down in the village of Winona. There'll be a mystery that they have to solve. One will be that Sir Red is missing, so it'll be a mystery that they have to solve on campus. And then the next day will be a mystery at the Fort Wayne Zoo, so they'll have to solve a mystery there. So we're incorporating reading and literacy and writing, but in really fun and engaging ways.
That's awesome. That's yeah. And same thing, they can find that on the website for the Center for Literacy and Learning
at the camps.
The Grace.
Yep, at the camps website.
Camps
and
website.
Then, yep.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
if you Google stuff, you'll find it.
Yeah, yes. Find us. Yeah, that'll
there
be fun.
There should be a Facebook little ad coming out for it soon, too. Yeah. So, yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you both for coming in and giving us just a little high-level taste of what's happening and the excitement around the center. And thanks for your efforts in making it happen. I know it takes so much work and effort and energy. So thank you.
Yes. You're Absolutely. Welcome.
And thanks to everyone for listening to the Grace Story podcast. Thanks to the marketing team for their work in producing it. Of course, if you know someone who might enjoy this or benefit from it or would like to learn more, please send it to them. Like, comment, subscribe. And if you have any comments or questions or want to get connected, just email us at podcast@grace.edu. And until next time, live your best Grace Story today.